Hey, have you ever accomplished something that initially you didn't think you could, but because of maybe some encouragement that came along, you accomplished it? You did it. Being that May is the month of graduations, we've celebrated some various graduations along the way. Maybe for some of you, that comes to mind. You finally got that degree. You finally graduated from whatever it is that you've been a part of for the last several years. And there's a new chapter ahead of you, so congrats. We've celebrated that a couple of weeks ago. My brother-in-law, by the way, who owns his own pharmacy now, and he's done quite well as a businessman. He came to mind as I was thinking about that question because when he was in college working on his graduate degree, his bachelor's degree, it took him 9 years to get his bachelor's degree. And so finally, through a lot of encouragement, a lot of perseverance, he was able to get that degree, and we're thankful for that. For some of you, there's some other things that you have been engaged with and working on, and you doubted maybe that you might actually achieve it. Some of you doubted that you would get that kid to graduate, but you did. Some of you doubted that you would get that position that you've thought about and longed for, but you did. You doubted that you could marry that girl, but you did. Some of you doubted that you would actually stay with that guy, okay, but you did, all right? Some of you doubted that you could accomplish that goal, but you did. Some of you maybe doubted that you could actually stop that habit, but you did. Some of you doubted that you could finish that project that you had, but you did. Some of you doubted that you could make it another year, but here you are. And you did. You have done some things, accomplished some things that maybe seemed unlikely, or on the front end, you thought would maybe even impossible, but you did. And how did you do that? Well, perseverance for sure. There's something about perseverance. But undoubtedly, along the way, there was encouragement from some others that kept you going, that helped you to be where you are today, to become the person that you are today. There's a power of encouragement, and we've all been changed by it. The superpower of influence, this series of messages that we're wrapping up today, the superpower of influence is encouragement. You have been influenced by it, and you have the power to influence others through it. We've said this all along. All of us are influencers, and it's simply through the acts of encouragement. I mean, if we could simply grasp that one truth right there, how the world would be different. Encouragement is the catalyst for change. Encouragement changes us and it changes others. And if there's one thing that we cannot get enough of, it's encouragement, because we all need it. We got enough stuff hitting on us. We all need encouragement. And I hope that today that you realize just how critical encouragement, as simple as it sounds, how critical it is, and that within you is the ability to change the world through this superpower of encouragement. The world needs it. They need encouragement. The church needs it. And you need it. In fact, Scripture gives us a pretty clear picture of just how important encouragement is in the church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is going to be on the screen for us, states it this way: "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works." Now, let's think about folks that we can help bring about love and good works. "Not neglecting the gathering together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day approaching." Another translation puts it this way: "And let us not give up meeting together as some have. Instead, let us encourage one another with words of hope. Let us do this even more as you see Christ's return approaching." The word "encouraging" in verse 25, in the original language, what it really means is to do this and keep doing it. Don't stop. In other words, we can never really get enough of encouragement. If we were to do a word search throughout the Scriptures for the word "encourage" and its various forms of that, depending on your translation, you would see that the word, the actual word itself, is in Scripture around 40 times. But 10 of those times, in other words, 1/4 of those times, the word encourage or encouragement is in the book of Acts. It is the book which talks about the establishment of the church. The Holy Spirit, moving through the writer Luke, the writer of Acts, saw that the need for the church was for encouragement. The church needed encouragement then, and the church needs encouragement now. And you are the church. Why is encouragement so important, so necessary? Well, to answer that, we're going to look at how God used the encouragement of an ordinary guy. We could say he's really an average Joe, if you will, in the Bible. The Bible mentions a lot of guys by the name of Joseph, by the way. In fact, there's about 15 different guys in Scripture that have the name Joseph. Many of them we're familiar with. Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and then rose to a place of prominence that helped preserve the people of God. We know the story of Joseph. What a fascinating story that is. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, married to Mary. Joseph of Arimathea, who provided the tomb in which Jesus was put in after he was crucified. All significant players in the story of God. But there's another Joe that was also significant, and he's introduced to us in Acts chapter 4. This is what Acts chapter 4 says. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. Here's this guy named Joseph, but by the way that the Bible states it, is if encouragement had a son, it would be this guy's Joseph right here. That's the way he was characterized by. He lived out that characteristic so well that that became his name. Now that in and of itself, honestly, we could stop there and make that a sermon. It would go something like this. When people see you coming, what trait so characterizes you that they begin to call you by that? Hey, here comes Joker. Here comes Wisdom. Here comes Helper. Here comes Complainer. Here comes Grumpy. Here comes Love. Here comes Compassion. When they saw Joseph walking through the doors, here comes Encouragement. And may that be said of all of us. As we follow Joseph or Barnabas, there are some particular sections where we see the power of encouragement have the most influence. And it's in Acts chapter 9. So I invite you to meet me in Acts chapter 9, whether it's physical Bible or turn on your Bible and make your way to Acts chapter 9. And you know, just something that I have always felt that we need to honor God's word because we stand on God's word. So I'm going to ask you, as you make your way to Acts chapter 9, if you're able and willing, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand as I read from the Word of God, just to honor the Word of God. Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to begin at verses 26, going through 28, and then while we're still standing, we're going to go to another section in Acts. So this is what the Bible says. When he, and he is the person of Saul, who becomes Paul, when he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and since they did not believe that he really was a disciple. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road, and the Lord had talked to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. And Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And then we move over, if you'll turn over or scroll down to chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, also speaks of Barnabas. See, the believers had been scattered because of a persecution that began to take place, and scattered particularly because of what happened to a guy named Stephen. And as a result of that, these believers left because they were being persecuted, and they went to the known land. Some of them went really far, and some of these guys ended up in Antioch. Now, as they went, they were sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with the Jewish people, their brothers. But these guys in Antioch, if you will, when they showed up, they also started sharing with the Greeks, the non-Jewish people. And in verse 22 of chapter 11, this is where it picks up. that, first of all, 21 says the Lord's hand was with them and a large number believed and turned to the Lord. That's what was happening in Antioch as a result of these believers sharing about Jesus. But verse 22, news about them, in other words, what was happening in Antioch, reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And listen to this, and large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Okay, you can be seated. Through the encouragement, if you will, one person, through the encouragement of just one, average Joe, the lives, a large number of people, lives were changed. If there's one thing that we all need, that we can never get enough of, it's encouragement. Why is encouragement so necessary, so important? Well, from this passage out of Acts chapter 9, as we just read this encounter that Barnabas had with Saul at that time, his name is later changed to Paul, it's because people like Paul, every one of us has opposition in our life. Paul was not being accepted. In fact, they were even hostile to Paul. And when we run up against opposition, we all need a little encouragement to make it through. Paul was a new believer, and he was simply trying to follow in the ways of Jesus. Paul wanted others to know Jesus and his love for them and the life that he died on their behalf. But the opposition from those outside the faith, but even opposition from those inside the family of God, was in front of him. And it was through Barnabas's actions and words that Paul overcame that opposition. You and I have opposition too, don't we? We have opposition from the one who opposes Jesus, the evil one, the divider, the destroyer. His name is Satan. Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that he's come that we could have this abundant life, this full life, this life that is satisfying and complete and eternal. Jesus was a life giver. Satan is opposed to you experiencing that life. He whispers lies. He provides temptations and distractions. He is opposed to you and to others experiencing the free, forgiven, full, satisfying life. See, Satan is a life sucker or a life destroyer. You have opposition from Satan. And you also have opposition from people. You have the world's influence of values and morals that are opposed to the way of Jesus. You have friends and co-workers and relatives and classmates who oppose you. They challenge you. They might even reject you or resist you, sometimes just because of who you are, but especially when you seek to live out the ways of Jesus. Ever experienced that? No doubt some of you are feeling the weight of someone or something that is against you. And you need some encouragement. How your world changes when that encouragement comes along, right? You know that kind word or that note, that pat on the back? That conversation that someone had on your behalf, like Barnabas did for Paul, how that breathes life into you. It strengthens you. It puts courage and faith and hope in you again. That is the power of encouragement. And it is so necessary. And we all need encouragement. Maybe today some of you, you've not experienced that encouragement. You're feeling the weight of the opposition, whether it's spiritual opposition or relational opposition or financial strain or whatever it is that's opposing you. The opposition is strong, the weight is heavy. And you are, first of all, I just want you to know that Jesus is there for you. He's there to strengthen and to lift and to guide and to support you, to love you through this time. But secondly, I want you to hear this loud and clear. There are many who stand ready to also encourage you and to support you. That's the church. And church, let us be the people who are like Jesus, the life givers, by encouraging one another. Encouragement is so necessary because every one of us has opposition, but also because every one of us has feelings. Let's just talk about feelings for a bit. God, in his creative design of humanity, he gives us the capacity to feel. He gives us the gift of emotions. And for those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In other words, he's stable. He doesn't change, but our feelings do. In our humanity, our feelings are subject to the influence of Satan, but they are also subject to the impact of life, to seasons of change, to relational distance, to misunderstandings, to unforeseen events, to the words and the actions of others. Paul couldn't catch a break. I mean, he just met Jesus and gave his life to the mission of following Jesus. He so wanted to be included and to be a part of the missionary work of Jesus. He wanted to be accepted by the insiders in the family, but he wasn't. Paul was human. And so I'm sure that that lack of acceptance, that rejection, was hurtful. It was frustrating. I mean, in the chapter, verse 16, previous in chapter 9, when Paul met Jesus, he was told that he's going to have to suffer many things. Verse 16 says he has to suffer many things in his name. So he knew suffering was going to be a part of it, but it still did not exclude him from the feelings of being hurt. When our feelings get hijacked by circumstances or relationships, we lose just a little bit of life. Our feelings kick in and they consume us, and so we're not thriving. We're not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. We're not experiencing love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, and all the others. But when a Barnabas comes along, the encourager who advocated, who stood in the gap, look what happened. And listen, this is what we need to understand. Barnabas and Saul were not besties. I mean, Saul had this reputation of killing, of throwing believers in prison. But Barnabas stepped in the gap because he knew that that was the right thing to do. That was the way of Jesus. And he advocated for him. And Paul, because of that encouragement from Barnabas, and that advocation from Barnabas, Paul was so empowered and strengthened, he became a force for the kingdom. He was so powerful, the opposition wanted to take him out. The words of encouragement and support from Barnabas changed everything. In this room, those watching online, there are a lot of folks listening in, tuning in. And you know where you are. Maybe for some of you, and you're doing really well in this area of feelings. You know, you're not being challenged. You don't have a weight. But maybe there's some, and undoubtedly there's some, watching or in this room, that if we could see your feelings, you'd show us something different. Some of you are lonely. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are frustrated. Some of you are just sad today. Some of you wonder, do you really matter? Some of you feel unimportant. Maybe some of you feel unwanted and maybe even unloved today. Maybe some of you feel that way because of the enemy's voice that's whispered into your head, or maybe someone else's voice that you have in your head. But I want you to know that is not the voice of Jesus. And it's not to be the voice of the church. Years ago, a well-known, popular student communicator, our students are down front here, they're taking off to camp tomorrow. Grateful for what God's doing in their students' lives. But there was a well-known, popular student communicator years ago who took a survey of probably thousands of students because he was nationally known, traveled a lot of different places. And he asked this question: if Jesus came in and sat right across from you, toe to toe, knee to knee, eyeball to eyeball, what do you think Jesus would say to you? So from this thousands of students that were surveyed at that time, they summarized the responses, and the top three responses was this. First one, those students felt like God or Jesus would say, "Man, I'm just pretty disgusted at you." Second response was from Jesus that they thought Jesus would say to them, "I'm just really disappointed in you." And the third response was, "Jesus wouldn't even sit across from me." I wish I had the ability, I really do, to sit right across from the students, toe to toe, knee to knee, eyeball to eyeball. I wish I had that ability for every one of you, because that survey was 20, 25 years ago, which means those were the students that are sitting here right now. I really wish that I had the ability to do that. And for you to hear me say, "You are so loved." that you are special. That you matter. Because that voice in our head that tells us differently, that is not the voice of God. He created you special. He sees you. He knows you. He is for you. He is with you. He hurts that you hurt. He's upset for the lies that some of you probably believe about yourself or about other people. He says to you, "I'm so sorry. I care for you and I love for you. I love you. I would love to do that with every person," so that that voice gets in your head, because that's the heart of the Father, and it should be the heart of the church. I've lived long enough to know that what we see on the outside of others as we gather like this is not necessarily the person that you're on the inside. We got a lot of thoughts up here, a lot of perspectives, and a lot of feelings. And sometimes we mask those, sometimes we cover those up. I'm not sure of all the feelings that are taking place today, but I can tell you this. There's one thing I am sure of. Is it every one of us? Every one of us need encouragement today. It's the superpower of influence. Your words, your actions can change a person's thoughts, that person's perspective, a person's feelings, a person's life. Encouragement is so necessary because every one of us has opposition and every one of us have feelings, and that can get the best of us. But also because every one of us has a purpose. And to achieve that purpose, we need encouragement. Every one of us needs encouragement to fulfill the purpose for which every one of us was actually created for. Paul had a purpose. We look back in the earlier part of chapter 9, and this is what was told to Paul, that he's a chosen instrument, and that he's going to take the name of Jesus to Gentiles, those outside the family, to kings, those in places of authority, and to the nation of Israel. Paul had already understood his purpose. And just a few short verses later in chapter 9, he's seeking to fulfill that purpose, and he's not getting anywhere. The disciples of Jesus wouldn't even accept him. How could he have a chance with anybody else? But Barnabas, the encourager. Through Barnabas' encouragement here, chapter 9, and then in the following pages of Acts, Barnabas traveled with Paul, at that time changed his name to Paul, and they were influencers throughout the land by their encouragement. It might well be said that the magnitude of Paul's ministry, which, by the way, we are in the ripple effect of Paul's ministry as the Holy Spirit spoke to him and wrote a huge portion of the New Testament. We're all benefits of what God was doing through Paul, but because of the encouragement of Barnabas, that magnitude spread to us even today. It could be directly tied into the influence of Barnabas through his encouragement of Paul. Every one of us has a purpose. It's captured in what we call the shorter Westminster Catechism. Some of us would know that. Hey, what is the chief end of man? The primary goal, the objective of man? This is what that catechism says. To glorify God, some of you know this, and to enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. You were created for a purpose, to glorify God, to see him magnified in and through your life. But that gets hijacked because of the opposition, because of feelings, and because there's a lack of encouragement sometimes. And folks, we have got to step into that so that you and others can fulfill the purpose that you were created. Psalms 139, well-known verses remind us that every one of us was fearfully and wonderfully made. For us to fulfill the purpose that we were so fearfully and wonderfully made for. It's not about a job. It's not about the number of likes we have. It's not about a status or a title. It's about glorifying God because of Jesus, living our life in a way that honors and glorifies him. That's our purpose. But so many of us get thrown off by life, by opposition, by feelings, and our influence gets hijacked. Hey, what if Barnabas had not stepped into Paul's life? What if Barnabas did not encourage the church, as we see later on in Acts chapter 15 and some other places in Acts? God in his sovereignty would have made it happen because he's sovereign. But what would Paul's life have missed? What might we have missed? What would Barnabas's life have missed out because he didn't step in to a time of encouragement? It is in the fulfillment of our created purpose that we experience the life that Jesus died to give us all. We all need encouragement to achieve the purpose because too many things are trying to take us off course. Too many things are trying to hijack us from that purpose. Listen, we live in a world of influencers. We well know that term these days. And you are one of them. Every one of you. May you be encouraged today to know that God sees you. He's got a plan and a purpose. He's going to help you navigate through the opposition. Greater is he that's in us, for those who have our faith in Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in us than the one that's in the world. May you be encouraged today. But don't miss the superpower of encouragement that God has given to every one of us. Catalyst to someone else discovering their purpose. You can encourage someone to discover life in Jesus starting today. You can encourage them to overcome the opposition and the weight that they're feeling. today. You can encourage them to not give in to the feelings that tries to sidetrack them or hijack them today. You can encourage them to fulfill the purpose that God created them for today. You can change the world. So let's encourage for a change. Do you need some encouragement? All of us do. But some of us today are feeling it, and you need a little extra encouragement. You know, we say this a lot, but at the end of the service, and we'll have some people, some of the leaders, who will be up front, and as an opportunity for you to just have somebody kind of listen to you, feel the weight, or maybe you just need to say, I just need some prayer for encouragement, and they would love to pray for you. And I hope that you'll make your way to those up front. But do you want to see the hearts or the attitudes or the situations or the lives, or do you want to see our world change? Instead of being a person who's maybe challenging or demanding or arguing or even criticizing in order to try to see some things change, would you encourage for a change? It's a command, by the way. 1 Thessalonians 5 says it best. Therefore, encourage one another. Based upon what was taking place in that time, there's a command issue that's eternal for us. Encourage one another. It's not optional. And build one another up, just as you've been doing, church. If there's one thing that we can never get enough of, is encouragement. And that is why the church must be encouragers. So let's be the church. Let's encourage one another. Would you pray with me?